This is the Austin Road Show podcast. The Roads Rewind.
Our good buddy, Ashley Brown, standing by on the hotline, and I've been dying to talk to him since this decision came down from the Supreme Court. The NCAA dealt a blow by the federal court system who says you can pay athletes if you want to. And a lot of folks are very seriously cashing in on this. AB, I just pulled up an article that says day one of the new era, athletes are already nabbing endorsement deals, selling apparel, and charging appearance fees. What do you think?
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, what do you think is going to happen here, AB?
Well, the acronym NIL, name, image, and likeness, is something we're going to get sick of. But, yeah, the NCAA had to do something. This was kind of the cutoff point of them, you know, making the decision. And you know, July 1st, they did open the floodgates. And the interesting thing, some of the people, that it would have been different 40 years ago. You know, 40 years ago, you know, Herschel Walker would have been cleaning up. You know, he would have been the guy making the money. But now it's not necessarily just the best player or best athlete. Now, you know, some of these players, before they get to college, are super popular because of, you know, social media. Maybe they've already got an Instagram or a TikTok account that's got millions of followers. The two people cleaning up, making the most money right now, are two women's basketball players from Fresno State, Haley and Hannah Cavender. They're twins, and they've got millions of followers on social media. They're very attractive.
Yeah, I was going to say, correct me if I'm wrong here, because doesn't that have more to do with the fact that they're babes rather than great athletes?
Oh, 100%. Okay. But they're very good players, don't get me wrong, but it certainly has more to do with the fact that they're babes, and they've already cashed in. They've already got numerous endorsement deals with companies. I mean, they were at Times Square yesterday. Interestingly, a tie-in with Georgia, Kevin Butler, the former Georgia kicker, his son Drew, who also was a punter at Georgia, he is involved with a company that is handling some of the stuff for the Cavender twins. And that's, you know, he was in New York for this launch yesterday of some of their products.
Briefly, a Pittsburgh Steeler, by the way. Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Drew Butler.
I mean, even a Jackson State defensive end, that's a historically black college, not a, you know, normally they wouldn't be getting an endorsement deal because it's not one of the most popular players in the country. He's got a deal with a black-owned hair product company called Three Kings Grooming in New York City. So you're going to see – it's going to be interesting to see. And like I said, it's changed because now it's not just going to be the best athletes, the most popular athletes. Sure, they're going to get stuff, but it's also going to be these people who may have already set up the – you know, have great social media following, you know, before they even got to college.
Well, not only that, but this also allows, I believe, the alumni associations for schools like – Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, lesser-known schools within even large and incredibly successful conferences to attract players that may want to sit second and third string at an Alabama or a Georgia looking for that NFL contract. Rather, but they won't do that now. They'll go somewhere where they're guaranteed maybe $100,000 a year in easy money because the alumni at Vanderbilt all stacks up to pay them these ridiculous appearance fees.
Well, more importantly to me, I think one thing that's dying is my favorite sport, college basketball, is dying a slow death. You know, the stars just aren't there anymore for college basketball. They come for 1 year and they're gone, in some cases not coming at all, going overseas. This way, you can now make, you know, it's lucrative for you to possibly stay in college a little bit more. Could you imagine, you know, Kobe Bryant or LeBron going to college? One of the guys who would have cashed in over everybody right now is Zion Williamson. He only stayed at Duke for one season. If he were allowed to get endorsement deals, he would have had a $100 million Nike deal while he was at Duke. He wouldn't have needed to wait till he turned pro.
Will this take pressure off the Title IX concerns? Because you're putting this in the hands of the private sector. They have no – the NCAA and the colleges can't be – it's not their fault that the girls' lacrosse team ain't as popular as their starting quarterback at Georgia.
No question. This comes down to – this is basically economics. It's who that company thinks would bring money into them. Sure, are you going to have – is there going to be some cheating? Is there going to be some, a supporter or a booster of a school trying to get money to somebody? Probably, but that's happening now.
Does this completely eliminate, even though it had been greatly reduced in the past, eliminate any waiting time rules or class graduation rules for NFL draft possibilities? Because if you've got a freshman making $100 million because he's a monster wide receiver, why not go ahead and sign him?
Well, no, I don't think that changes yet. I mean, the NFL still has the, you know, the 23 years, 21 years old, 3 years out of high school. Baseball still has that. You can sign out of high school, but if you don't, you have to go to college and stay until you're 21 or 3 years after your graduation date. You know, basketball, that's you know, not as big a factor. You don't have to stay, you know, but a season. So, and really not even that. You can go to the G League or go overseas or whatever. You just can't, you know, can't be drafted in the NBA. So it's going to change the game. That part might take a while.
Well, and the reason I brought that up, AB, is because in the past, it's always been about the schools themselves paying salaries. And I didn't think that would work because, again, how do you pay the number one quarterback at Alabama the same as the second string punter, even though they're both on scholarship? So
you're right.
Would have had to have turned around and paid the women the same thing you were paying the men. And you and I both know that wasn't going to fly.
Well, no question. And that's why we haven't been able to do it. Nobody's been able to find a system. You know, for a long time before this endorsement stuff started being talked about, I was saying, okay, have them work camps. The money from those camps go to the players. That's what they get, you know, that kind of thing. Have them sell their merchandise. The merchandise goes to the player. In that case, it would go to the player who's, you know, a Johnny Manziel jersey at Texas A&M was going to go more, you know, than whoever the backup quarterback was. So it would be a basically, you know, dog-eat-dog economy, whoever's the most popular. And that's kind of what we have now. But like I said, just think about what would Herschel Walker have made in the early 80s in Athens, Georgia?
Oh, man, yeah.
Nobody was more popular. Yeah. And if you look at this, and I know some people are saying, well, they're getting an education, they shouldn't be. But let's face it, some of these athletes, the top-tier ones, they're not going to college for that. They're going to showcase their skills, improve, get better for the next level. And if Georgia's, you know, football program, and they're one of them, there's probably 7-8 football programs out there whose profit, not what they're bringing in, their profit is over $50 million a year. So you're telling me some of those athletes don't deserve a little piece of that pie. I'm sorry. I beg to differ.
And with this system that takes any kind of payment plan out of the hands of colleges, they're not coming out of pocket anything. And they're probably going to end up having superb marketing machines getting behind these guys, because if you're an agent for one of these players, you want to, you know, market him to be your tennis shoe guy and your pizza guy and all this, that, and the other. So what you're doing is you're making a bigger deal out of him, which makes even more people want to come to see Georgia play or buy a Georgia jersey or that kind of thing.
Well, that's what I said is going to be interesting, though, what you just brought up, the sneakers. Sneakers, you know, Under Armour, Nike, these companies. What happens when a player wants a deal with one of them, but the school has a deal with another company? That's the problem we're going to run into.
Well, how do they handle that at the NFL level? Because doesn't Juju work with Under Armour or something? And, of course, the NFL is Nike.
The NFL is. The players can wear their own individual shoes, but the uniforms
on the field
or whatever is a certain thing. Yeah.
I didn't know that. I know they could in the NBA. Yeah. I didn't know they could for the
But let's take, for example, let's throw even shoes out of it. Let's just say, you know, Team USA is a good example. Team USA had a deal with Adidas or somebody else. So, like, Michael Jordan, you know, couldn't – he actually, I think, fought it 1 year and wore them anyway and got in trouble. You know, he couldn't wear his Nikes. You know, we're going to run into problems like that. This is going to be a fluid thing. They're going to have to make adjustments as they come along. But one thing's going to stop. It's going to stop a situation like Jeremy Bloom. Jeremy Bloom was a football player at Colorado years ago, but he was also a world-class, like, Olympic skier. And he got endorsement money. He had to quit football because he was getting endorsement money. Here's the difference. The crazy thing, though, Deion Sanders, while he was in college, played football, played pro baseball in the offseason, and made money, but because he was being paid by the team and not being paid by an endorsement deal, he could play. So the rules were just crazy. So I think this is going to level the playing field, and by leveling it, I mean it's going to make it right. It's going to be this should be something liberals and conservatives are for. Liberals wanted the players to be paid. They didn't want the big giants making all the money.
Right.
And conservatives should love it because this is a
– capitalism.
Like I said, this is capitalism at its best for sure.
Yeah. Are you concerned or maybe intrigued at the possibility of a guy, you just mentioned one of the quarterbacks, could have been a $100 million person in college, taking that money himself and turning around to the best prospects at offensive tackle, lineman, guard, that kind of thing, and say, tell you what, I'll share some of my money with you if you'll come protect me?
Well, I think that's there's going to be potential for a lot of that. One thing I think is going to be interesting to see, you know, we always see it in the NFL or NBA or Major League Baseball. When a guy gets a big contract, when he's in a contract year, he plays great. But when he gets that contract, sometimes they don't play quite as good. Maybe they're not playing as hard. Maybe they didn't work out as hard. Well, when you've already got $100 million, is there a vested interest for you to, you know, some players are going to love it and just want to go because they love the sport. But if not, is there a vested interest in you working and getting after it and being the best you can be for the draft and turning pro? We might not see as many athletes that are great, the ones that don't truly love it, that are taking it just as a business to provide for their family. They may never make it as a pro. They might make all their money in college and then they're done.
Yeah, that's it's interesting. I always worry about that when any athlete gets the really big contract.
I do too.
By the way, I don't mind, and I appreciate your input on this, but I have to ask you before we hit this break, and I have to let you go. I don't think anybody in these parts had any idea the Hawks were going to be the story they were. I guess halfway through the season, maybe. The one game that we saw this year that I got to see in person, the Warriors and the Hawks, and I saw Trae Young, and I was like, "Holy cow, who is this guy?" And wow, watch him. Has this story surprised you as much as everybody else, or did you see this coming?
No, I mean, I think it surprised everybody, including me. I think the Hawks were building something. I mean, when they got Trae Young and they got Herter and they got them in the same draft, you know, they traded away a great player. I mean, they traded away maybe, you know, a top three player in the league in Luka Doncic, and I think a lot of people were wondering about that. But, you know, Trae Young was a fabulous player going all the way back to his high school days. He was the best player in college when he came out from Oklahoma. He's an exciting player, maybe more exciting than Luka in how he plays. He's kind of like a Steph Curry. But what they did was they built parts around him. They picked up Clint Capella. That was a huge pickup. They drafted a John Collins. They, you know, Cam Reddish, although he hasn't helped as much. Both those guys have had some injuries this year. That's the big surprise to me, the injuries that they've had, and they've still – with those injuries, they've been able to do this. They finally got healthy towards the end of the year, and even with Trae Young out the other night, Lou Williams, a veteran, a Georgia native, stepped in and played great. They're a fun team to watch, and you know they got two games they've got to win against Milwaukee, and they're in the NBA Finals.
I think my wife wants to adopt Herter. She says he looks like he's 12 years old. Well,
you got Brogdonovich, you got Herter. Everybody's chipping in. Sure, Trey's the star, but they wouldn't be doing anything without Capella and Herter and Brogdonovich and all these other guys, John Collins and all these other guys, and Lou Williams for that matter, stepping in and doing what they've done. They're a good mix of players, and yeah, and a lot of folks who have always sort of been Hawks fans, but they've never had a lot to cheer about other than maybe Dominique Wilkins. Now they've got something to cheer about for sure, and most of these players are pretty young, so this is something that could last a while.
Who in the world would have ever predicted that both of the big stars from either team would go out in such bizarre ways the other night? That's very strange.
Yeah, for sure, and we've seen a lot of injuries in the NBA during the playoffs, and you know, who would have thought this though too, Austin? The many chances that the Braves and Falcons have had, and of course the Braves did get one World Series, but if you talking about in the 2000s. Who would think the Hawks might be the team to get the first chance? that would be crazy.
Yeah, the odds are stacked against them though. They got a long road to hoe on this one.
For sure.
But they've had a great year. Well, listen, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much,
right,
and
buddy.
We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
You got it. Thanks,
Ashley
man.
Brown on the road with us this afternoon. Appreciate him checking in.
Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Rhodes Show. Listen to Austin weekdays from 3 till 6 on Augusta's News Talk and Information Station, WGAC, at 95.1 FM, 101.9 FM, and AM 580. Stream it live on WGAC.com or on the WGAC mobile app. Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Rhodes Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.